أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we look at the Surah Al-Tariq. Now Surah is Makkan, highly Makkan by contents, and nobody has suggested otherwise. And I couldn't find anything that is regarding Shan and Nuzul in Al-Mizan or any other places. So, because there is nothing, no incident, nothing sort of related in it, and nobody has sort of come forward with any Shan and Nuzul. The surah, like all early Makkan, sort of talk regarding the whole jungle concept of life, what we are here for and what's going to happen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Was-samai wat-tariq. Was-sama is anything that is above the earth. Sama, and the plural is samawat. By the sky, wa here is waw al-qasm. Was-samai wat-tariq. Tariq comes from taraka. Taraka means to knock, to hit something, to strike. And that's why, for example, tariq, the path, is known as tariq is matruk. That is something that has been hit a lot, pounded a lot by the feet. People pound on it. And tariq is somebody who actually travels. But then it refers to somebody who travels ordinarily, okay, hits the road, but somebody who comes in the evening or at night, a nocturnal traveler, he when he comes, he not only knocks the door of the road, but he has to knock a house, door of the house also to get inside. So it's usually specifically used more often to mean somebody who travels at night. A traveler, somebody comes, and then generally anything that appears at night, tariq. And here, as we know from the other bits, it's regarding the stars. And tariq, the stars appear at night, things that come at night. But samai wa tariq, by the sky and the star. He is sort of Muhammad puts this as morning star, but the star. Wa ma adraka ma tariq. And what do you know? What is a tariq? And then it itself gives the meaning a najmu faqib. Najm is star. Najmu faqib. Faqib is faqaba, is to pierce a hole, to make a hole, drill a hole. And faqib is something that is piercing, drilling. And it is as if, even the light, it makes a hole in the darkness. Very nice sort of. And also a bird, is when it flies high, it's, it makes a hole in the sky. If you think of sky, a solid thing, and the bird when it flies, makes a hole in it. So anything that is high then is known as faqib as well. And Najmu faqib is a piercing, a very bright star. A very bright, very high star. In kullu nafsin lamma alayha hafiz. That was the qasm. Every qasm has a jawab. Jawab is the answer. Why is the reason for making this qasm? Is in kullu nafsin lamma alayha hafiz. In kullu nafsin lamma. You see, most of the Quran we have is lamma. And others have said it is actually lamma. And that would fit with sort of, if in is here taken as conditional. There isn't also any sort of emphasis there, it would be lama. Any soul, there is in kullu nafsin, each and every soul, lama alayha hafiz, but it has a hafiz. Others have said that lama is illa, there isn't a soul, but there is. The meaning is similar, there isn't much difference as far as the whole overall meaning. In kullu nafsin, every nafs, every soul, Lamma alayha hafiz. Lamma, they say, is one of the variants of Arabic language. It's illa. But alayha on it is a hafiz. Hafiz, hafaza is to keep, to guard, to preserve. So it has a hafiz, somebody who is keeping it, preserving it, guarding it. Now what is this that is guarding it? Everybody says that it is malaika and so what is this malaika? What is this hafiz looking after? Others say it's looking after us. There are people say that there are lots of malaika, Allah is appointed for every one of us. They keep us away from danger.
And there are lots of hadith regarding this thing, that there are so many malak appointed for children and this and that, and they always are guarding them that they don't fall into danger, that is physical danger. But the others have said in Al-Mizan, he said this hafiz is the one who looks after your actions, they protect, preserve, somehow keep your actions, whatever you do. And very powerful to you, this another ayah where it says hafizin kiram and katibin, there are these preservers, keepers, kiram and katibin, they are honored writers, and they are preserved recorders, they record, they're keeping the record of it. So they say it's happy that this malaika or whoever, they are keeping a record of us. And others have said actually it is your nafs which is being kept, you yourself, these people actually preserve it, the body which dies and nafs. So all these variants, though we must sort of remember that this nafs, we usually refer to people who are dead or the soul which is remains after. There are two words which are used interchangeably in Islamic literature, but originally, for example, we never say nafs of those people who are dead, we say the roh of the people, arwah. But actually Quran, when it talks about people dying and Allah taking out, it talks about nafs. Says that like the nafs of those whom Allah takes, and if the appointed time has the value, there is nafs, has arrived, then he keeps them, otherwise he returns them. That is if they are sleeping, you say that is also, death is something like sleeping, the ruh or the nafs, not the ruh, the word used there is nafs, is taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if the appointed time isn't there, then he returns it, so it goes back and there's. But if they put it, then he keeps it, that is, they are dead. So there is a lot of sort of confusion between nafs and ruh and what that is, and we sort of don't want to go into it, but just to bring and make a point. The Quran actually, when it talks about what is being captured when somebody dies, is nafs. But we usually, when we talk about what has become sort of known, is now ruh. And we talk of arwah, of the dead, and all these things. Which somebody with some thesis and said there is this confusion in the Muslim, and he translates ruh as spirit and nafs as soul. So, but he said that this is in Islamic literature, most people have said that this is interchangeable. And even Ghazali, in his books, usually says it's the same thing. So every nafs, on them there is a keeper, a guardian, an agent who protects. Protects for, protects, preserves his actions, only himself, the nafs, which is good. Many people have said that this nafs is actually a collection, a result of your actions. And Tabataba strongly has this sort of argument that nafs is nothing. I mean, the thing that is taken out, or what is left when you die, is nothing but a collection, or is a result of a collection of your actions. So it is the same thing, and that is what is going to be weighed. And when we say that, when we talk about a thing that is being weighed, I mean, he says it is that your nafs, you yourself are going to be weighed. And that is a collection of your actions only, a result of a collection of your actions. So, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ لَمَّ عَلَيْهَا حَافِظٌ. Every soul, no human soul is there, but there is a guardian over it. But this message is very clear in the Quran, and always try to drive it home that we are sort of just here for nothing. I mean, there is a purpose, something is there. Everybody has to be conscious that there is. You are going to be judged according to your actions, everything you do. And I mean, even though we sort of try to say that we are the people who believe in Adil, it isn't true. Many than the Muslim who doesn't believe that Allah is just and Allah is going to act or treat people according to what they have done. I mean, even those whom we claim do not believe in justice, these are philosophical arguments and there are technicalities that have come over there. But every Muslim believes clearly there isn't anybody who doesn't believe that Allah is just, that justice is going to be, no wrong is going to be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, and everybody will receive his due whatever he has done. فَلْيَنْزُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقَ. So, let فَلْيَنْزُرِ, let
them in front, that man, when man can see mimma khuluq, from what has he been created? Khuluqa mimma indafik. He has been created from ma. Ma is water or fluid. Dafik coming forth, gushing from a fluid that comes out, that gushes out. Comes out from yakhruju min bayni sulbi wa tarayib. It comes out from between the sulb. Sulb comes from salaba. Salaba is something that is hard and stiff. And because of this, and sulb is known as either the backbone, that is hard, that keeps the body stiff, or the loins, this part. So it comes out between this backbone, this part, and what tarayib. Tarayib is the plural of tariba. Tariba is known as, people say, the collar bones, or the ribs between, or the part just below the collar bones. Others say the four first ribs, but that is this part, the top part of the chest. So it is ma which comes out from between the sulb and the tarayib. Now, most of the person, it means very far, the whole part of the body, from here down to whatever is there, it comes out from there, whatever ma is there. But then there are sort of various other sort of flowery accounts given by many other mufassir who have been influenced by other things. For example, they say that this ma, this water which comes, this flame which comes up is created where? Because they go into science and say it's created here, then it says tarayib is this, and soul is this, and others have said soul is man, and tarayib is woman, and all these things. But literally, soul is either the loins or the backbone, things that keeps your body stiff. And tarayib is the collarbones and under it, the upper part of the chest. Now you can make whatever theories you like and fit it with whatever you like. But this man has been created from, and from what we know from other parts of the Quran, this ma or this ma in the Arabic, it means the terms. That it is trying to, even where it is, trying to say, see from what have you been created. From this water, fluid, Allah can create you, make you out. Then he can do anything. He can make you again in that way. It's strange, that the Quran always comes up and says, look, if you think about it, you are nothing and you are now. So you can be nothing and you can be again. What is the big deal? If you can be created once, you can be created again. There is no big deal. And one thing which we forget is because we do not know, because we are familiar that how it happens here, because of repetition, you can study and see how it happens. We find it easy to understand, but when we are not familiar with something, we find it difficult. It's obvious, and that we do not have the experience of how people are going to be recreated, resurrected. We find it difficult and strange. It's only because it's unfamiliar. But the argument is, we can do it once, we can do it again, no matter how we do it. How usually Quran does not deal, and we actually confuse three questions. And sometimes you give them as answers, the same answer. One of them is how, why, and who. So if you think of, for example, why are you here? Then somebody or some of you say, because the car brought me here. It's not that, because that is how you are here. You came by car. What's here? Because the car brought you here. You are here because of something. And it is not very easy to understand the whyness of things. Especially of intelligent things, the whyness is totally different, it's not within the thing. For example, why is the car here? You can say it was brought here. It didn't come for a purpose. But why am I here? Not because I was brought by the car, but I have got another purpose. The purpose is not within me. It's either to talk to you or something that is abstract, that is outside. People examining me will not find me, why I am here. Because I have got intentions, and that is the difference between non-living of things, conscious and non-conscious things. That the conscious things have a why, a purpose which is not within them, that is not found physically by examining them, you will not find it, or by their location, you will not find it. There has to be, there is a purpose which is above them. But we sometimes make very big mistakes. This is common in language. We answer why. When we ask the question why, we answer the answer how. Why this earth is created,
we said with a bang, you know, this is how it is created. Why? You don't know. There's not in the earth. If there is a creator, then the how, whyness is not in the earth. It is with him who has created it. And you have to find it with him. And not also by examining him, but by his expressing. And it's very difficult to find a why. Even for conscious beings in this world, forget about it. Something that is not physical, for lies there. So we have to remember that we sort of ask the right question and see that we are answering the right. We don't know why. There is no way we can find out why. We can find out how. Nobody is talking about how. And there, most of the time, the disputes are about how. For example, we say, and though I'm not trying to sort of say, yesterday, for example, our lecturer said he does not support evolution. Evolution is how. Evolution is not why we are here. But Allah doesn't say how. Islam doesn't say how we came here. Created by the Malaika means nothing. Malaika means by evolution are there. Malaika is there. Malaika can sit with everything. How we are there, nobody is saying. How we were created, nobody is. Who created and why, is what Islam is interested. How, anyhow can fit with it. Doesn't matter. Anyhow is compatible with it. Whether we have come from animals or from dust. And as I was explaining to God the other day, the meaning of coming from dust doesn't mean that he made a statue out of us. It means that we eat from the plants, which are from the dust. We eat from the animals, we are eating from the plants, which are from the dust. Everything is from the dust. Even now we are being made by the dust. But an ignorant person thinks that he lies something that's making a statue. No. It's more complicated than that it's making a statue, yes, but not with his hands, with the malaika, with the plant that comes up and grows and we eat and we have this. I mean, it's a very sort of, is a very great maker of statues, if he can say that. I mean, something where he doesn't use his hands, but all these things, but yes, he is making it, through dust only, using the dust only. We are not just from anything else, we are made from dust. Everything does go, dust is the ground and the earth. And everything, if you just make it, is going to the earth, and we are being made from it. So even Adam could have been made by like that. We don't have to think that somebody, and then Ikhwan Safa, I mean, they clearly say, I mean, people say in the Malaika, you say, go and get the dust and make. But what are Malaika? We don't know, they are not physical beings anyway, so they are going and getting the dust and making it out of dust. It's not like sort of a person making. Do they have hands? We don't know. Allah says, I made my, with my own hands. Does he have hands like we have? No. So, we have to understand, he made it. How? We usually sort of try to then imagine the way we do things, that he does it. We do things that the Malaika do. They did sit there the way we, it isn't, do they have hands that they can fall down on? So this howness is what confuses us. We don't have to, any time we don't worry about it, how they did it. But why and who is important. And always the message is who created us and why he was created is the message that Islam is trying. How is not trying to tell us? And it isn't important. So we always have to sort of take this important of it. Who and why we have been created. So Paryanguru Sam Minmatu. So let him see from what he has been created. Here also from what and if he can do this thing, he can do that. And this message is clear in the next innahu ala rajhi laqadir. And verily he, ala rajhi, on returning him is qadir, is capable. So he is capable of bringing him back. If he has created him now, he can create him again. In whatever sense, whether it's spiritual, whether it's this, all disputes are about howness, you see, how it's going to, whether it's going to be physical. See. But it is not the problem. You will be created again. So whatever you are, you will be created again. If you think you are a body, you will be created again. If you think whatever you are actually is going to be created again. So innahu ala rajhi laqadir. He is on bringing you there capable. He has the strength, power, because he has done it. You can see that he has done it, because you are there. And when is he going to do this? Yawma tubla sarayr. On the day tubla is from bala. Bala literally means to examine, to test. So on the day that the sarayrs are tested. And here sarayr is the plural sarira. Sarira is from sir. Sir is secret. keep something secret. Sarira is secrets, things that are not known, open. And Sarai is secrets. The secrets are tested or examined, or as has been slightly said, that it is the result of this test that is made evident to everybody. Whether this secret, whether you need them, what for what purpose, then it is said on that day. On the day of Qiyamah, it's going to be a very sort of a strange day. So day when everything will be evident, and our eyes will be really, as Quran says, بَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. It's going to, we are going to be very sharp. We will see things we don't see now. This is, we see the secrets. The secrets of everybody will be seen. It's a very strange day. All the secrets. Here we can't see it. I do things, you don't know why I'm doing it. On that day, everything will be revealed. Why I did what I was doing. The reasons and all the secrets will be evident. On the day that secrets are made, are searched out, as he put, or made evident, you see, clear. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَافِيَةٍ. And for him there won't be any power nor any helper. We will be helpless. There will be nothing that we can do. This will become evident. Everything will become. There will be nothing we can do. We won't have any power over it nor any helper to prevent these things. Alas, so this is going to happen, and we, and as we know, I mean, and as Frank keeps on insisting, no, we sometimes think that we have lots of power to do. We haven't. Everything we have, power is what Allah has given us. And even if there are powers that we have to do against His will, He has given us. If He hadn't given us, we wouldn't have this power. So if we are restricted to what He has empowered us with. And on that day, it's going to be said that we won't have any powers. He won't give us these powers that we can do anything against these things, and it won't be there. This world, there are some powers that He has given us by which we can do certain things. And again, it goes, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. And by the sky, ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. Raj is, as we said, returning. All the ذَات, usually ذَات or ذَات or masculine ذَات for feminine, is possessor of something that has got this quality, Zatir Raj, of returning, of, and Mufassir, some people have said that it Raj here means mat or rain, because it carries or somehow sort of agrees with the next ayah which talks about the earth. So literally it means returning, that keeps on coming back. So for example, night, the sky, it keeps on returning to itself. Night comes, day comes, stars come in, and then goes on returning, I mean repeating itself. And those others have said, returning rain, I mean keeps on coming down with rain now again and again, because they say that it helps the argument about creation, for example, they have sort of, it's a symbolic of sort of a union between man and woman, that is earth pours out the rain, the sky throws down the rain, while ardi zat is sad, and the earth zat is sad. Sad is splitting, cleaving, that splits, cracks, and then the plants start growing up. So the rain comes down, and the earth splits, and the plants come out, as if giving birth. Innahu laqawlun fasl. Verily, this is a qawl, saying of fasala is to distinguish, to set apart, to define the limits, so that you can, two things are distinguished from one to another, separated. This is a call, which is a saying which defines the limits, good and bad, right and wrong. Wama huwa bil hazl, and it is not hazl. Hazl is something that is not serious. Hazl is a joke. A joker is hazal. So this is not a joke. It's not something that is just said to amuse you or something. No, this is a serious, I mean, this is what is going to happen. It is true, it is reality. It isn't a joke or to make you happy. And it's often the Quran says, this is not poetry. You see, poetry is something that's imaginative. You imagine things and make people sort of feel nice and put things in a nice way, even though you have to stretch the limits of the meanings of the word. This is not like that. This is not pleasantry, this is not a joke or something that's not serious. This is it means actually what it says. إِنَّهُ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا يَكِيدُ كَيْدٌ كَادَ يَكِيدُ is to plot, is to deceive, is to try to gain an upper hand by sort of deceiving somebody, using tricks so that you fool others and gain an upper hand to gain your whatever your goal, to your purpose by fooling somebody. Somebody doesn't know what's happening and suddenly you find out that he tricked you and he obtained what he wanted and he was deceiving you. He's acting somewhere you do not think that he is doing what he's trying to get. I mean, you. So there, these people try to fool or try to plan and plot and scheme. They are scheming a scheme. They are plotting a plot. They are deceiving a deception against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people think that they are, no, they are clever, they can get all of these things. They are doing these things and working on and planning, that they will get all of these things. And Allah says, Akidu Kaida. And I am also plotting, and I plot. And if you say that this kind of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such, and this is repeatedly said in the Quran, and something really nice in the next thing, that he says that this he actually, his plots are so clever, Allah's plots, but there are the plots, there don't bear plots. So when you plot, that plot itself is working against you. Rather than you think that it is working for you, his plots are based on your plots. So if you don't plot, he doesn't plot. If you plot, then your this plot becomes the subject of his plot, and he starts plotting Aqidu Kaida, and he is the master plotter. I mean, nobody is better than him. He knows everything. And so they plot and try to sort of in their thinking that they try to avoid these things that are going to happen. But no, Allah plots and Allah will sort of make it happen whatever happens, no matter what they do. فَمَحْلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا فَمَحْلَ and أَمْحَلَ. Most of the dictionaries say both, that is the second form and the fourth form, those two. The English, those who learn Arabic the English way. I mean, the Arabic don't call it the second form and the fourth form. But in English, usually it's taught as the second form. It's mahala, fa'ala, and af'ala is the fourth form. So, they mean the same thing. To respect, to give time. Mahala is the first form means to take things leisurely at your time, I mean, not to rush. Mahala is to give somebody respite, to give somebody time, not to rush, make him rush. Give him time, to give him respite. For makhil is kafir. Give time to this kafir, to this believer. Wa amhilhu. Both of them are imperative. Mahal, the imperative of the second form, and amhil is the fourth form. And give them time slowly. I mean, because Allah is doing this pain. He has got his plot. There is no way they can escape from it. So there is no need to rush them into things and in this punishment and be upset that why things are not happening. They will happen very soon. And this soon actually is, others have said that Muslims gain power, that is at the beginning of the war. But actually, as throughout Quran it says, Alaysa Subhu Bi Karim. This Subh, this Mahir, this all this thing is there. I mean, surely death is coming very soon. In the whole sort of picture, the whole universe and time, very soon, they will be taken to task, and things that Allah said will happen. So mahir, there is no need to rush into thinking, why is it happening? Why isn't the kuffar being punished and all this? Everything will happen, and very soon it will happen. So, فَمَحْلِ الْكَافِرِ and give respite to the disbelievers, and so don't rush with them. Be patient. I mean, things will happen. Allah's plan will take place and will be effective. And that's why it's so Ruwaida also, Ruwaida is also slowly. So give them respite, give them time. Slowly. Things will happen. Be patient. That's why it ends, and inshallah, we'll talk about Natchez Baraba next time. This surah, because there isn't anything that the Mufassirs have brought out is very complicated. I thought the window is long to finish it today. So then you can think about it and write what the Mufassirs are writing. It's by the meanings that comes clear, that's all. Even other things, the Mufassir, they are always, they asking themselves what they understand, they try to explain. You can name the meaning, then try and work out things and how it could be and what, and add flesh to it. So the it is important that you know the bare meaning. Then start adding flesh to it, the way you understand, the way you understand. Wassalam.
Yeah,
the proceed is something that you don't know. So these people don't know about doing this theory.
But
in the very proceed is usually in our sense because we don't know. So we don't know what is in their heart. They are doing things from other person, but we get some. So these people try and think that they can overcome the law. But this book, this book,